a streak of fire, a breath of flame, eluding all who reach and clutch. A gray ghost thrown into the game that rival hands may never touch. A rubber-bounding, blasting soul whose destination is the goal, Red Grange of Illinois by Grantland Rice. For many of us, names like Butkus, Nitschke, and Grange are more than mere players on a field. They represent the history, the glory, and the spirit of a university that has contributed so much to this country and has made our lives rich beyond anything we may offer in return. If Virginia belongs to Jefferson, then surely the land-grant legislation proposed and signed by Abraham Lincoln in 1865 gave birth to his home state university in 1867 and countless other institutions for the people, of the people, and by the people. We are the living legacy of Father Abraham's great institution. Sons and daughters of Illinois, our renaissance, in the words of Ron Gunther, is now. From Chicago, the greatest sports city in America, we are proud to bring you Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G.
Happy New Year, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Mr. G is off again this week, and we're glad to welcome a guest co-host, Illini alum from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, Gail Fisher. Gail, good afternoon. Thanks for coming in.
Boz, my pleasure. This is the one day I get to wear my Illini gear and not be, you know, unbiased. I get to root and cheer for my team.
Really? That must be a tough thing when you're doing highlights and you know, you're seeing plays, and it must be hard to.
It is tough.
Interject.
We are supposed to be unbiased, but I don't think if anyone who's been watching me on the air the last 10 years, I don't think it's any secret that I am an Illini fan. Although I do try, of course, we have to pay a lot of attention to all of the other local schools, Northwestern, DePaul, even Notre Dame is considered local. Illinois State, Illinois State. So. Basically, I have to, you know, spread the love and the, you know, cheering for all of these local teams because in our business, if the local teams are doing well, it's good for us. But every once in a while, my orange and blue will come out.
Well, that's good. And it could come out more than once in a while as far as I'm concerned. 10 years already. How time has flown,
10 years, yes. Oh, I do have a big, bright orange blazer that I wear sometimes. And every time I pull that out, they know that's my Illini jacket.
You look like Lou Henson's niece when you wear that. A lot going on since last Monday with the New Year's and all that. We're going to have a great show today at 12:20. We're going to be joined by Jerry Hester. Jerry, of course, is the color commentator for the basketball games on the radio. And Jerry will give us firsthand reports and viewpoints, his viewpoints of the games, both at Purdue and at Michigan yesterday. Came out with a 1-1 split. I think 99.9% of the fans would have taken that in a heartbeat before we went to Purdue last week, don't you think?
I absolutely take it. You know, it's interesting because just talking about Notre Dame, they lost to St. John's, and Mike Bray came out and said that he's happy opening league play, you know, 1-1. I don't believe him at all because the Irish are ranked 7th. But when you're the Illini and you face two ranked teams on the road to start Big Ten play and you come out with a split, I'm pretty thrilled with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's too bad we couldn't just kind of hit a few more baskets the last 3 minutes yesterday in Michigan. But we'll get into that in more detail in a moment. Of course, rumblings in the football office. I guess today, tomorrow, or very soon, a new offensive coordinator will be announced, and Bob Osmussen from the News Gazette is going to join us at 1 to fill us in on that. And I think Bob might have even broke the story a day or so ago. Also, football, Tom Sims was let go or not re-upped, however you want to term it, and we'll ask Bob his take on it. There's some fishy stuff about that. Do you have a feeling about that, Gail?
I don't. Obviously, Zook clearly not happy with the way things went this year and is trying to shake some things up. I don't have any inside scoop for you, Boz, but I can tell you that I can imagine there was, you know, a lot of maybe infighting and things going on and pointing the finger and some blame about what happened this season. So we're seeing some of the fallout.
Yeah, you know, the baffling thing about that is, you know, the year before, the defensive line had a terrific year, and Sims was, you know, a hero. And going into this year, it was like the most talked about part of the team, and there were high hopes, and they didn't necessarily perform up to snuff. But, you know, it's too bad that a coach had to take the fall for that. I think there's a little more that needs to be done than just getting rid of the D-line coach. But I think they have Sook's got something up his sleeve with maybe another coordinator available now that might be a D-line coach at the same time.
Probably. That's usually how these things work. If he has somebody else in mind, or he just has a pretty short trigger, and it certainly sends a message that if he feels you're not pulling your weight, or your part of it's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, boy, you're done.
Well, you know, I think the pressure's on all of them, and as Zook to start with. I mean, you know, there's no reason we shouldn't have been in a bowl game this year. We've hashed this over and over and over again, and we're going to stop in a few minutes and wait till 1 o'clock when Bob comes on to go back to basketball. But this next upcoming season will be Zook's fifth, and if we don't get to a bowl game then, he'll just be, you know, one out of five and with the arrow pointing down. So I think, and also with a new quarterback going to have to start year six. So you're kind of like going to be starting all over with a new, young, inexperienced quarterback. I think a lot of pressure on Zook and everyone there for this upcoming year.
Well, you could say that, although Illinois' history is such that they give a lot of leeway to their football coaches. I mean, Ron Turner was there for, what, 9 years, and he only did the one thing in the Sugar Bowl. So the rest of the time, losing seasons. But I think you're right, if the arrow is going to start to point down. I wouldn't say it is yet. I mean, he had the Rose Bowl appearance, followed that up with a bad year. Next year will be the year to see which way is the arrow going. Does he still have momentum with this team, or is it going in the wrong direction? But Illinois is pretty generous giving their coaches some leeway and some years here, so I think he's okay for now.
Well, we're trying to change the culture and the expectations and the attitude a little. We were all happy with 500, a little above, a bowl every other year. But, you know, once we got to the Rose Bowl with seemingly a young team, you know, the bar should have been raised a little at least, and to at least make a bowl game, you know, this past season and keep moving forward. Not necessarily expect the Rose Bowl every year, but fighting for a New Year's Day bowl, one of the three that the Big Ten have. If not, you know, where Northwestern went is fine a couple days before New Year's.
Well, I think you're right on that, raising the expectations, and I'm sick of the all or nothing. We either have this major season where it's Rose Bowl and then we don't make a bowl the next year. It's like, can we just have, let's have consistent. I wouldn't mind even just 9-10 win seasons every year almost. Let's just be consistent with it. But if you're going to get on Zook's case, I mean, the same argument could have been made for Bruce Weber. I mean, you, a national runner up in 2005, you follow that up with nothing and until now, did not get the recruiting that you should have gotten off of that 2005 season.
Well, I'll disagree with you there, because Weber did make the tournament the first 2 years after the Final Four. A lot of people thought he wouldn't, but he did, albeit might have been the last team in, whatever. But they made the tournament those 2 years, did not make it last year, mainly because of the Gordon fiasco, and that it did affect other aspects of recruiting. So that, to me, is a little different story.
Story, although I would say I was a little disappointed on not capitalizing as much on that 2005 season, whereas Zook also is dealing, when you do get these good players, they leave early. And so he is dealing with players leaving early. He did have some injuries this year. I'm not saying I'm not with you on the Zook.
We were still good enough to make a bowl game.
I'm keeping my eye on him, but I'm not ready to cut him out just yet.
Okay, and I'm a Weber guy. I'm in his corner, and he's doing just fine. And they only missed the tourney once. But anyway, let's go now back to, I think it was Tuesday night. We go into Purdue. We got a little cut I'm going to ask Randy to put up that we talked about last week as we're starting the season, what our expectations are. Randy, play that for Gail so she hears what I said last week. When the season started, this game was an automatic loss, no doubt about it. However, now, this game and every other conference game until proven otherwise, but as we sit here now on December, 29th, every game is winnable. We're not going to win every game, of course, but this Purdue game, you know, it's a tough place to play. Sometimes we've played well there, sometimes we haven't, but tomorrow's game is winnable in my mind. Did I go out on a limb, or what do you think? I mean,
Well, I think I don't know yet whether or not Illinois is overachieving or whether or not we just didn't recognize how good they could be this year. And in the beginning of the year, no one really had the expectations. Are they overachieving, or actually are they pretty good? From what I can see, Mike Davis, Tisdale, Demetri McCamey, these guys are for real. And once Alex Legion gets into the system more, learns some more defense, I think he's going to be good too.
Yeah, you know, I don't think they're overachieving. I think they're making nice progress. I said at the beginning of the year, you know, number one, we'd like to make postseason. I think with a little luck, we can make the NCAA as opposed to the NIT. But to me, the most important thing going into the season was seeing vast improvement from the sophomores, because they're going to be the upperclassmen the next 2 years when these great recruits are coming in. So, and rather put the weight of the world on the shoulders of Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson and these guys, if McCamey and Tisdale and Davis, amongst the three of them, Legion, the fourth one, can show some strong improvement both on the court skill-wise and also off the court leadership-wise, that's what I was going to be looking for. And I believe in Weber and his coaching, and so far these guys have improved. I'd like to think of it as improvement as opposed to just overachieving.
Well, that was the unknown factor, because these guys were young and we don't know. And well, of course, Boz, you're the diehard. You might be in Champaign over the summer monitoring their workouts, but we didn't know what kind of work they were putting in the summer and how much improvement they've made. And even McCamey came out and said in the paper the other day that, you know, he's matured. He said these guys, they all put a lot of work in the summer, in that off season, and he's matured. He said that a lot of times last season he would sulk after losses. There was a lot of fighting between the players on the court. There wasn't that chemistry that this team has right now. A lot of players didn't get along last year. I know Chester Frazier had a problem with Sean Pruitt. Obviously, they didn't respect Brian Randall that much. This team actually really likes each other, and you don't have that fighting with each other on the court anymore. And they have matured, and I think they're ready to take this to the next level.
Absolutely. You know, Weber has always said, and it sounds like a cliche line at the beginning of each year, like we'll go as far as our seniors take us. But that's a great example, because, again, and we had Kendall Gill on a couple weeks ago, a terrific interview. Kendall stayed with us for 30, 40 minutes or so. And when everyone thinks of Kendall, they think of the tremendous improvement he made in the offseason between his freshman and sophomore year. And the point is that these freshmen really don't know what they're getting into when they set foot on campus the summer before freshman year. And if they think they've worked hard in high school, they ain't seen nothing yet, so to speak. And we hear it, and we hear the rumblings about Jeremy Richmond not playing hard, and I just read something this morning, Tracy Abrams wasn't impressive to somebody, didn't play hard. The first time I ever saw McCamey was out in Arlington Heights when St. Joe came to St. Viator. He was a junior. Evan Turner was a junior. Jonathan Peoples was a senior. And I'm there with some buddies, you know, wearing my orange, going, we got this guy, he's a good player. And you know, there's 4 minutes to go in the game in the fourth quarter, and it's a 6-point game, where and St. Joe should be blowing these kids out. And Pingator, you know, an old-time Hall of Fame coach, calls timeout. His guys come over, and he starts barking at him, and he gets in Dimitri's ear. And Dimitri just kind of, looks the other way, walks down the end of the bench to get a towel, and I'm thinking, my goodness, this is the guy we got, you know? But on the other hand, I think, well, once he gets the champagne, Bruce is going to whip him into shape, and he's going to have a whole change of world. And that's what these guys don't realize, guys and girls for that matter. You know, you move up from high school ball, whether you're all-state or not, to college ball, it's a whole new world. And you need that senior leadership to guide you through, which you said wasn't there certainly last year with Randall and Pruitt. But now, again, hopefully, even though Brock and Meacham and Frazier are playing terrific, their best ball, we're going to miss them next year a little more than we thought the beginning of this year. But by midway through the season, this time next year, hopefully we won't miss them as much, because Legion will be in there a full year, and the freshmen will be, you know, half a year under their belt. They are better players and athletes and all that. But that leadership thing is key, and the kids having the right attitude and understanding that they got to work hard every day, every possession, in practice also to earn the time. And that's what we're seeing, the change from freshman to sophomore year in McKamey, mm-hmm. Tisdale, Davis. And there's still ways to go, which makes it exciting for me.
Yeah, knowing that they're so young and they're only going to get better from here. And I think you're right. The leadership not only comes from the seniors, though, and this is where you can give some kudos to that coaching staff and Bruce Weber. They have to buy into the system, because even, you know, these high school kids, we know how they are. I saw Dimitri McKamey play in a tournament at UIC, and the same thing. The first half, he was nothing, and I thought, oh, gosh, this is our guy. And then the second half, he comes out and he drains 7 3-pointers, and St. Joe's goes on and wins the game. So he was seemed a little inconsistent to me, but like you said, once they get to college, they understand how hard you have to work. The difference is, can the coach get them to do the work and do what they need to do? Because if you don't have that kind of leadership, you can be just as lazy in college as you were in high school. But you have to be motivated to actually put in the time and do the work. And I think we even see that in the short amount of time with Alex Legion, because he was known to not play defense. He's taking some wild shots. He's not as disciplined even on offense. And Bruce is working with him. And we're still seeing, you know, some out there shots that he's taking, but boy, he's come a long way in just the short amount of time that he's been there.
Yeah, I think all things considered, you know, Legion has done very well, and he's going to get better and better each game also. I like the way he actually moves without the ball in the motion offense. I think the reason is because he wants to get it to shoot, but nevertheless, he's moving now a little gingerly, but as time goes on, he's more comfortable. He's going to be moving faster and quicker, and he could get his shot. Yesterday, I don't think it was a bad shot. He kind of took the ball one-on-one, but drove into the lane with the left hand and was able to elevate and fade back a little. Wide open shot, went in and out at the, you know, within one of those missed shots the last 3 minutes. But, you know, he's a player. I like
what
I see.
Yeah, he threw up a three that was way off the mark. But I didn't have a problem, because I guess even Bruce Weber said, this guy's our best scorer. So maybe if that's the message, maybe he thinks in the end, with the game on the line, I need to be the one to come up with the big shots. So we'll see. He'll come around. You know, he is a scorer. You can tell that.
Yeah, no, I like what I see. You could tell why he was a McDonald's All-American. We'll continue talking about Alex Legion, the Purdue game, the Michigan game with Jerry Hester in a few minutes. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. Give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email questions to Gail Fisher today from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago, helping us out. Illini alum wearing her orange and blue, looks great. Email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back with Jerry Hester in a moment.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find a location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Make us a favorite button on your browser.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet. You're talking Illini on TalkZone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
We are back talking Illini on TalkZone.com with Gail Fisher from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Gail, again, thanks for coming in.
Love to be here. This is fun. For me.
Okay, I was just going to ask, are we having fun yet?
Absolutely.
I think so. We want to do a special shout-out to our main sponsor, Joe Rizzo Auto Dealerships, RizzoCars.com. In a moment, we're going to be joined by Jerry Hester. You know, Gail, we're talking about the sophomores, and as I look around the conference, what's exciting to me is there's a lot of youth, and also, just like we're excited about our recruiting classes, I think a lot of the schools, including Michigan and Minnesota and Ohio State, of course, and Indiana, I don't know how or why, but their class next year is highly rated. So I think there's a lot of good things ahead for the Big Ten, don't you?
Well, absolutely. It was just really nice to see Michigan even make a resurgence from a year ago. And having an Illinois-Michigan game, you know, be intense and mean something between two really good schools. I'm a huge Big Ten fan. So when the Big Ten is up and competitive and is respected nationally, I'm pretty happy. So I'm in favor of all of these schools getting better and being ranked. I mean, we've got a few teams now ranked in the top 25 in the Big Ten, and that's good to see.
Yeah, I guess the rankings maybe come out later today also. I was looking this morning and didn't see any changes yet. But, you know, Michigan certainly, well, you know, they lost at home to Wisconsin, and they beat us, and we beat Purdue and lost to them. But I would think Michigan would stay up there, and we would maybe slip into the top 25, although it's not that significant right now anyway.
Not right now. I think Michigan, they may hold on. Of course, if Illinois would have won that game yesterday, they would for sure be in the top 25, and obviously Michigan would have dropped out. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, Illinois has beaten two ranked teams this year in Missouri. They didn't crack the polls the last time around, but beating a highly ranked team in Purdue was ninth at the time. So
yeah,
that's quite an accomplishment.
Right. Let's bring in our first guest of the day. He was there yesterday in Michigan. He was at the game Tuesday night in Lafayette, our good friend Jerry Hester. Jerry, Happy New Year. Thanks for coming on.
Well, Happy New Year to you, too. It's nice to be on again.
Say hi to Gail Fisher.
Hi, Jerry.
How you doing, Gail?
I'm great. Thanks.
Jerry, one thing I'm a little concerned about as we move forward with the conference, I like the tempo of the game. I like our tempo. I think we play better with an up-tempo a little. But when we do this, sometimes Tisdale gets passed up by the other centers running down court for easy baskets.
Yeah, I mean, that happened yesterday, and I think it's a learning experience for the big guys in general because that Michigan team, it's a very tough team to play for any big guy, you know, anybody in the country. Any center is not used to guarding another opposing center you know, 25 feet from the basket consistently throughout the game, like Michigan poses with the way they run their offense. So I'm not too worried about what Tisdale can do moving forward. I think that's just a very tough matchup, and hopefully they'll make adjustments. And they get a quick turnaround because 10 days from yesterday, they'll see Michigan again at home.
Jerry, Boz and I were talking a little bit just about some of the rotations and the matchups and how Bruce likes to go small a little bit. Of course, when you're running the motion and you're trying to play a more up-tempo game, that's what you want to do. But at times, do you see that maybe the Illini should go bigger and try to go down low a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, with the way they run the offense, they are more open offense. And with this motion offense, I think Mike Davis at the four fits in real well because he can shoot the jump shot, and then also Tisdale can shoot the 15, 16-footer. So, I mean, this team is not built to really focus on pounding the ball down low. I think the way they get their shots inside is through penetration and kickoffs and a little bit of driving, not really, I guess, your traditional post-up.
Speaking of penetration, Jerry, one of the weaknesses that I observed, at least in my mind, was on defense. It seems like the other team finds it a bit easier to achieve dribble penetration against us than we do against them.
Yeah, I think we saw that in this last game, and that's a product of the way John Beilein runs his offense. I mean, he's a wonderful coach and a great basketball mind, and he does a nice job of spreading the floor, and the one thing that Illinois does have to get better at is, like you just mentioned, is the dribble penetration on the defensive end, and obviously we know how good a defender Chester Frazier is, and I think Jeffrey Jordan is doing a very good job, but some of the other players need to continue to step up in that aspect and get better defensively.
So I'm just wondering, Jerry, from the two games, Purdue game and Michigan game, what you saw the difference was. Obviously, they hung on against Purdue, but then down the stretch against Michigan, was it just defense in the end? I mean, I know Illinois shot 58% from the field in the first half of that game yesterday, and that was going to fall off a little bit. But what was it down the stretch that you saw that was different than that Purdue game?
Well, I think the difference down the stretch is Illinois, I think execution on the offensive end. I think we saw Illinois do a great job of executing down the stretch of the Purdue game, and especially when you look at what they did down the stretch of regulation and in the overtime against Purdue, was running a lot of pick and roll. They found something that worked, and they continue to stick to it. I think yesterday was they didn't execute and they didn't make shots. You know, I think Trent Meacham went 2 of 9, and all his shots were good shots. I mean, I don't think he took a bad shot, and the shots weren't falling. And I think defensively, what happened is Michigan got off to a good start with shooting the threes. And then we got scattered at the end of the game and worried so much about the three that they spread us apart and were able to get 5 layups down the stretch and close the game out on a, I think it was a 12-2 run.
Right. You know, when all is said and done, we just came up with a bad 3 minutes at a bad time of the game, and we come out of the first week 1-1, which we talked yesterday. I think, you know, all Illini Nation would have been happy with before we went to Purdue if we were to say that's what we were going to be sitting today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're 13-2 and you're 1-1 in the Big Ten, I think everybody would have took that at the beginning of the season. And you know, as you go through the season, obviously, you know, the team and fans wanted to get greedy and get 2 games on the road. But Michigan, you have to give them credit. They're a much improved team. They lost their first home game against Wisconsin, so they were desperate to get a win. I mean, they were the team that was in the top 25. They started to turn a corner with, you know, guys buying into what Coach Beilein is doing over there. And so you come out 1-1 on the road, and now you have to take care of home court. You have 4 out of 5 games at home in your next 5 games.
Jerry, Boz and I were talking about the maturity of this team and of the sophomores, but I'm also wondering if there was some maturing of Chester Frazier. I read a quote in the paper this week that said Bruce Weber talked about Frazier and how he's now accepted his role. And I'm wondering if you know a little bit more about what that means in the sense that perhaps he doesn't have to be the playmaker. He knows what his role is on the floor because his turnovers are down and he seems a little bit more level-headed out there.
Yeah, he does. I think he's taken some of the pressure that he put upon himself to try to be all things, to be the best defender, to be, you know, to make the big shot, to make the big pass. And now he's just out there playing basketball and making solid basketball plays. And I think one thing that he looked into going into the year was, you know, he wanted to get into coaching after he finished his basketball career. And I think he started to look at some of the things that the coaches were doing. And I think that settles him down a little bit, and it makes basketball in a different perspective. And I think that's helped him slow the game down and realize what he needed to do to help his team be successful. And he is doing a very good leader for this team on and off the court.
Absolutely. He's having a great season, obviously, at the right time for us. But, you know, I'm not going to put all that on Chester's shoulders. I think that over the course of his career that the coaches – you know, didn't necessarily know which direction to steer him in and how to mold him and what his role would be. It's a little more clear this year, but, yeah, he's an intense guy and wants to succeed, and everyone puts a little pressure on themselves. But I think the coaches kind of maybe finally made a concrete decision in terms of this is what we're going to have Chester do. They talked about him being a more of a rebounder, and he's playing the big guys, Hummel what's his name from Michigan, Manny Harris. They're putting him on him, which you know brings him down low to get some defensive rebounds. So I think part of that, you know, the coaching staff, it took this long a time to kind of for Chester to evolve into the player that he is. One of the things I'd like to ask Bruce someday is has he become the player you thought he would when you recruited him, or is he something different, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Chester Frazier's career, you look at his freshman year, obviously he played behind D. Brown, so he wasn't going to get a ton of time coming off the bench his freshman year. And you fast forward to last year, you got to look at the injuries. He was hurt most of last year, and he played where probably most players would not have even played. And I know people heard Coach Weber talk about that a lot, but Chester was a true warrior last year. He played in games where he probably shouldn't even been walking. And along with that, he was playing the point guard along with a freshman in Dimitri McKamey and trying to bring him along too. So when you look at his career, it was really only his sophomore year was where he was healthy and I guess really stepped out of the D. Brown mold, you know, playing behind D. Brown. And then last year, like I said, he was hurt. So between really sophomore and a senior year were really the 2 years that you can look at and say that, you know, maybe he had an opportunity to play well his sophomore year and he didn't quite get it done. But I think this year he's been able to turn a corner.
I think the new haircut helps a lot, don't you, Jerry?
Yeah, I think the haircut definitely helps. I don't know how much it helps on the court, but it'll probably help him off the court, but I don't know.
Jerry, you know, there's a lot of talk about chemistry now seems to be the new buzzword with this Illini team. How do you see the chemistry? Just for me in watching, it's so much better, obviously, than it was last year. But is it true? Are these guys all really getting along now and they really like each other?
Oh, this team has tremendous chemistry. And now, you know, a point to one, you know, going to South Padre, and it was funny where my hotel room was right next to, I want to say it was Dominique Keller and Mike Davis, not too far from them. And we checked in, and about 30 minutes later, the whole team was in one room. And that just told me right there, being a former player, when all teammates, when they can go on the beach and they can go in all different directions, all of them stuck together, went to one room, and just hung out together. And that tells me right there that this team truly, genuinely likes each other on and off the court.
Jerry, we've got an email question from Mitch in Barre, Illinois. He asks, in your mind, what is the biggest surprise so far as a team, and maybe what individual player has surprised you in either in a good way or a bad way?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is just how Illinois has been able to execute offensively in different types of games. You have a game against Missouri where it's a fast-paced game. Illinois was able to win out. You have what was supposed to be a grind-out game against Purdue and a team that plays tremendous defense, and Illinois was still able to get the shots that they want. And the surprising thing is really would probably be that what Illinois leads the nation in is that assist per field goal ratio. I mean, they lead the nation in the number of field goals with the number and assists that they have in that area. So, and even yesterday, first half, 17 field goals, 17 assists. So this team plays together, and that would be the biggest surprise. I would say individual players, You know, it'd be hard to say. I think every player stepped up in one way or another. I think Chester obviously has stepped into a leadership role. He's diminished his turnovers and some of the bad shots that he took last year. I think Trent Meacham, you know, we talk about his three-pointers all the time, but I think he's turned into a more complete player than what we've seen in the past. I mean, he's able to play defense. He's not a liability defensively. He drives the ball to the basket very well. I think that Missouri game showed he had 9 free throws, and all of them was because he created contact. I think Dimitri's getting better as a point guard. Mike Davis, obviously, what he's been able to accomplish. And Tisdale. I mean, Tisdale's done a great job. And Calvin Brock, you talk about the seniors, and I think Calvin Brock has also done a nice job of understanding his role. I think we talk about Chester Frazier because he's on the court 40 minutes a game, but Calvin Brock comes in and provides that energy and that lift off the bench for this Illini team.
How is Alex Legion fitting in? I know he got booed yesterday at Michigan. Has he been adjusting okay, and how's he fitting in with this team?
He's fitting in, you know, very nicely. I mean, he was able to be around the team even though he sat out last year and, you know, saw what happened at the beginning of this season, and he hasn't come in and tried to do anything spectacular. I mean, his job when he gets on the court is when he's open, he has to take a look because he's going to knock down eight out of ten every time he has the opportunity. So he's doing a nice job of fitting in. Obviously, he needs to continue to get better. He only had 5 collegiate games before he stepped out on the court for the Illini. So he's still learning, but I think he's doing a nice job of just fitting in right now.
Jerry Hester's Talking Illini with Boz and Gail Fisher today from Comcast Sportsnet Chicago. Give us a call at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Jerry, you mentioned earlier Dominique Keller. He maybe hasn't seen the minutes that we anticipated. It seems like all these junior college guys that we get over the year either don't pan out or it takes maybe till the senior year to really contribute. But, you know, I look at him as a guy that, you know, we might need down the road in these fast-paced games to run the court and rebound, give, you know, if coach is going small.
Yeah, I mean, he can definitely provide a spark off the bench. And, you know, it's one of those things where it depends on matchups. And I think you saw yesterday with Richard Simrau, who has traditionally been the guy to come off the bench and relieve Tisdale, but he just couldn't play in yesterday's game. And I think Keller's a player that depending on the matchups, he can have a big influence on a basketball game. And he's a strong player, and he has enough agility where he can get out and guard a player like Sims yesterday. It's just unfortunate yesterday he didn't have a very good game offensively where he had a few turnovers. But he's a tough player, too, very tough-minded, and I think provides a little edge for this Illini team.
Jerry, where do you see this team going down the line here in the schedule and in the Big Ten? Boz and I were debating a little bit whether or not they're overachieving at this point because nobody expected this, or they are really this good and we can now expect them to make a run here and obviously make the NCAA tournament.
Well, I think this team is good. I think they continue to prove it, and as long as they continue to take it game by game, and Coach Weber mentioned after the Purdue game, he didn't write it on the board, but one of the players from the team, and they all accepted it. This was only one of 18 games. So they're a mature team, and they realize that even though that was a big win, it won't really mean anything unless you take care of business the rest of the year. And so as long as this team keeps that attitude of staying focused, they will have an opportunity to go far and make some noise in the Big Ten.
But even Weber said after the game yesterday, well, he said if you beat Purdue, we're a good team. If you beat Michigan, then we're something special. He doesn't think there's something special just yet. Could they be, though?
No, they definitely could be. And I think that Coach Weber's exactly right, is that, you know, you have a team, you have a win against Purdue, you know, and do you get greedy? Do you really want to win? And even though they didn't execute down the stretch, so they gave that game away. And he wants them to get better, and that's what they'll do over this week. They have a week off until they play Indiana on Saturday. So they do have an opportunity to be special. It just depends on the progression and them getting better every day.
Do you think they're going to watch closely to see if they're ranked today and if they crack that top 25? And if they don't, is that going to affect them?
You know, I don't think that, honestly, I think that the fact if they don't get in the top 25, I think it will add fuel to their fire, if anything. I think if they get ranked, I think they'll be happy about it, but I think they'll continue to move on. So I don't think, based on what I've seen and talked to with the players, that they care one way or another. I think that they kind of have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and feel like they have something to prove to the fans and, more importantly, to themselves.
16 conference games left to go, Jerry. I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the other teams over the weekend, but, you know, looking down the road, you know, where do you see this conference race? How do you see it shaping up?
You know, it's funny. Everybody talked about Michigan State and Purdue, and, you know, Michigan State, I think, have started to turn a corner, and they look like they're getting into that special Michigan State mold. I think nobody talked about Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is sitting there 2-0, and they beat Michigan at Michigan, and, you know, Wisconsin's a team with Bo Ryan that you can never count out, so it's a little too early to tell how it will shape out. I think that there's a lot of parity in this league right now where, you know, there's not an easy game. I think Penn State was a sleeper team for a lot of people, and right now they sit 1-1, and they can beat anybody on any given night. So it's too early to tell. I think right now Michigan State seems like the cream of the crop at this juncture.
Yeah, Wisconsin was actually, in a couple preseason polls that I saw, they were in the top three with Michigan State and Purdue. I certainly haven't forgotten about them, but I agree with you. Michigan State looks like they're really starting to turn it into a different motor, and if anyone kind of starts to get ahead of the pack, I believe it'll probably be them, but I think we can compete certainly with the rest of the teams. And, you know, look to finish in the upper echelon and make the tournament.
Well, yeah, I do. I think this is an important stretch. You have 4 out of 5 games at home, and that one road game is against Michigan State. So, you know, after this stretch, you will be able to see, you know, where this team fits. And, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility for this team down the road to be looking at a chance to compete for the title. I mean, it's too early to consider that, to think about that, you know, just play one game at a time. But, after this 4 or 5-game stretch, we'll see where they stand.
And, Jerry, you're out there. So are you hearing anything about, you know, talk that the Big Ten may be back on the road to respectability nationally anyway, even before the Big Ten season started? The conference, I believe, had knocked off 4 ranked opponents, and they had an 80%, I want to say, win percentage over non-conference opponents. So they are starting to come around and be more competitive nationally?
Yeah, they are. Of course, being a former Big Ten player, I'm a little biased and, you know, don't like a lot of the talk about Big Ten always being down. And, you know, you hear about they haven't made a comeback. And I think this year they proved that even the 2004-05 season, you know, it was supposedly a down year for the Big Ten, and you ended up getting 3 teams in the Elite Eight and 2 in the Final Four. So, you know, I think this conference is a little bit better than what maybe they have been in the past couple of years. But, you know, we'll just see what happens. You know, obviously we're in Big Ten play now, and you know, teams tend to beat each other up at this point. But after the Big Ten season and the tournament, we'll see who gets into the tournament, what noise they can make.
Jerry, you've been real kind with your time today. We want to thank you for joining us. And any final words for Illini Nation as we move forward in the conference schedule?
Nothing. Just like Brian Barnhart, my partner, and I have been saying, this is a team that is going to be exciting, you know, win or lose. And so far through 15 games, they've done a very good job. And we need to get that hall packed to capacity again like we've seen in years past.
I think it will be, and you and Brian do a great job. Also, again, Jerry, thanks for coming on, and we'll catch you down the road.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks a lot.
This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G and Gail Fisher today. We'll be back in a moment.
Someday you may wake up and think, uh-oh, I'm running out of time to do something about retirement. AXA Advisors can help you do something now that may provide a solid future for you and your family. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Attention all civilians.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
We're back, Talking Illini. Happy New Year, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Give us a call at 888-463-6748. Or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. Special thanks to one of our sponsors, Wildfire Steaks, Chops, and Seafood. Have you ever eaten a Wildfire?
Yes,
yeah?
I have. It's excellent.
It's awesome. I love it. Our family loves it. We go there all the time. I got a good friend, a server in Lincolnshire. If you happen to go there, ask for Rose. She'll take care of you. WildfireRestaurant.com. Locations in Chicago, Oak Brook, Lincolnshire, Schaumburg, Glenview. And for our friends in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Atlanta, Georgia, and also McLean, Virginia. You know, Jerry mentioned Meacham. And absolutely, again, you know, hats off to all three seniors, Brock included. There was talk, you know, when the season was beginning, if Brock was even going to be on the team. But, you know, they came back with a mindset, you know, bought into whatever Weber was selling them. They're playing their best ball. And Meacham, you have to understand, you know, he was a little dinged last year. He had some surgery on an ankle or something over the offseason. He's a little quicker. As Jerry said, he's able to guard a little better. He's getting to the hoop and getting some fouls. He's a great foul shooter. You know, Mr. G and I always debate about McCamey. He's not a big McCamey fan, thinks he's slow of foot. Has problems penetrating, and there is a lot to that. He has to up his game a bit before he's NBA ready. You know, I believe McCamey is quick, but not fast. He could get the one, you know, he can get the one step on the guy and maybe stop on the dime, pull up and shoot. But if he keeps going, the defender might be able to catch up with him. That's something that, you know, I don't know. I have a request in to get Jimmy Price, the strength and conditioning guy, on one day to find out if, you know, if he can make, if there's programs to make guys and gals, for that matter, faster and quicker and jump a little higher, et cetera.
But, oh, I'm sure there is. You can do agility drills. You could do all kinds of things. If this is the part of the show, Boz, where we say who we like and don't like, no, I'm a fan of McCamey. I like Meacham.
Say whatever you want, whenever you want.
I think
you
McCamey,
better like me. That's all.
Yeah. I think McCamey, as we talked about, he was just a freshman. I don't know what Mr. G was looking for his freshman season. But
Mr. G's very critical guy. You know, I mean, he loves the program, loves Bruce, you know, but he's very critical. And if things aren't meeting his eye, he's going to let people know about it.
I think McCamey's got a lot of potential yet to fulfill, and I'm. It looks promising to me that he's actually going to do it. Meacham is an interesting kid. I always liked him because he seemed to be the guy who could hit a shot in the clutch. But he was always that three-point guy, right? And it didn't seem like there was a whole else left to his game other than that. And when he wasn't on, you know, he's sitting on the bench. There's not much he could do. So I'm glad to see he's got a little bit more overall game going. To me, I still like him. He seems to be a guy who can knock down a three when you really need it. Chester Frazier was I never liked Chester Frazier, and I can't understand.
You weren't alone.
Which assistant coach, or if it was Bruce, it was Bruce, but who walked into a Baltimore High School gymnasium, saw that guy, and said, we have to have him? I have never seen, and I'm sure he's a nice kid, and I hope he's not listening because I think he's sensitive. But I've never understood
sensitive
his game.
Sensitive is good, though.
Yeah,
it's not necessarily
I don't want to take him out of his game now that he's playing so well. But I've never seen what was impressive about his game ever.
No, you're not alone.
Replacing D. Brown, that's a tough shoe to have to fill. So I do feel for the kid in that sense. But I'm not sure what we saw in him from the beginning.
Well, right, and that's why I brought up that question that someday I want to get around to ask it, Bruce. You know, what did you think he would become, and has he become what you thought? But, you know, maybe he faked everyone out with the hairstyle, and they thought he'd be another D, you know. But God bless the kid. He's persevered, and he's definitely helping the team this year. Now, again, people were talking at the beginning of the year, once Legion comes in, he'll get less minutes and all that. And I'm looking over the rotation and the minutes. And again, I am not totally comfortable with so much reliance on the three guards at 6'5 and under. I mean, down the road, if you have a 6'7 Jeremy Richmond, which is more or less a three and not a two or a four, with guard skills, then that's okay, because we do get hurt on the boards. We do also rely on too much three-point shooting. Again, the mid-range game has kind of disappeared, although Brock sometimes can take a few dribbles in, just one or two, Calvin, because any more than that, you know, he's always up there on the turnover chart. But he's had a nice season also. Legion has shown ability to kind of put the ball on the floor for a couple bounces and then rise above and hit a shot inside the line. But, you know, I want to see more of that. And I want to see at Purdue, we saw more cutting to the basket on the motion. Whereas yesterday, for some reason, we didn't or couldn't do that and ended up with the long jump shots again.
Well, obviously, coaches, if they have a system like the motion offense and they tend to run a certain kind of, system, they recruit that way. And my problem sometimes with basketball teams is, if you're always looking for a certain type of player, that's all you have, and you can't just have greyhounds. You have to have a couple of big dogs. You have to have a couple of different kinds of players, and if all you're going to do is have the 6'3", 6'4", guard types, a little athletic, some are faster than others, but you're always going to have the same thing, and sometimes you do need to mix it up. I'm glad we've got, you know, I like to see Davis and Tisdale. Obviously, as Jerry said, this isn't the post-up team, and that's not the kind of game you're going to play all the time, but you do need to mix it up every once in a while, and you can't just have the same thing over and over, because when the opponent figures it out, you're going to be done in the second half. They make the adjustment.
Well, I'll disagree a little, because as I'm watching Purdue and this guy Jovan Johnson had a tremendous game, a lot better than I expected, I wouldn't mind having guys like that or Mike Davis with a little more muscle, as well as Tisdale has played. You know, he's going to get exposed by good coaches, which might hurt us at times. The Clemson game, it kind of hurt us. Yesterday, he didn't even start and play like the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Yeah, I'm giving a little more leeway, though, because when this guy first came, I thought, oh, my gosh, if you're going to give me another Nick Smith, I'm going to tear my hair out.
No, you're right there.
But I do see he's got a little more game. They did say he's put on 30 pounds.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't look like it.
Right.
So he could use another 30, probably. But I guess I'm just, the jury's still out on him for me. I like the fact that he can shoot. Nick Smith couldn't shoot. He was just a big guy. And so in the beginning, I thought, this is just another big guy. Well, he actually shows that he can shoot.
Yes.
And he's got some offense and he has some moves. So we just need to cultivate that a little more. I'm not sure how they do it. That's up to the coaches.
Right.
The jury's still out.
Yeah, I mean, but when you talked about greyhounds, I'd love to have five Greyhounds. But, you know, one 6'10", one 6'9", one 6'8", and two 6'6", or 6'6",
yeah,
6'4".
Well, you need them a little bigger.
And a few more on the bench, you know, with a little muscle, that's all.
The one thing I like to see, and I know since you're a big Bruce guy, you can help me with this, because I was really down on Bruce those first couple of years after that 2005 run. To the national championship game. And it wasn't just the recruiting, although that was a big part of it.
I think I know where you're going.
It's the development of the players. I was wondering, why are these players regressing? You know, Bruce was known to be a coach, the X's and O's guy, maybe not the best recruiter. Okay, fine. So I can take a knock on the recruiting a little bit, but then you have to show me that you could do something with these players. And when I saw Rich McBride regress as a player, we saw Brian Randall regress as a player. I really had to question, what is Bruce doing? I thought he was the guy who makes a lemonade out of lemons. He takes the diamond in the rough and makes them into a great player. Where is this?
Those are very valid points, especially with Randall. I mean, Randall, is somewhat of a coach's dream, where you get an athlete like that who might be a little raw skill-wise, but you assume if you're a good coach, you can develop the skill. McBride peaked, I think, like in, you know, sophomore, junior year in high school, probably. And, no, seriously, that happens to people. I don't know if it was a weight problem that he couldn't control, or it was just something, but, you know, he wasn't quick of feet either. He ended up just being a shooter, did the best he could, and that was that. With Randall, I agree with you on one point, that in 4 years, 5 years actually, they couldn't teach him to shoot. I don't care if it went in or not, but just shoot properly so the ball has the right rotation. I couldn't believe that in 5 years, you know, no one could work with him on that. Now, you know, giving the coach some leeway, you never know what's going on in the kid's head. You know, it's a two-way street. The kid's got to want it. The kid's got to be coachable. At some point in time, they just turn them off. A lot of variables you don't know. But I think you're seeing now where you have, again, the quote-unquote chemistry factor going. You do see the guys improving and understanding that it doesn't happen overnight. You got to work every day. And I look, as nutty as this might seem, you know, I look 2 years from now, when these sophomores are seniors, and Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson and Bertrand and Griffey and St. Louis are sophomores, and then you have Head and Richmond and Myers Leonard as freshmen. And those freshmen, at least two or three of them, are you know, have all the hype that they should be able to walk in and contribute as freshmen and don't need to be kind of brought along like infants. But with the current sophomores, and you could see, you know, what they've done in like a summer and half a year, which we all have to be satisfied with. If they keep going on the right track, if they're not satisfied, want to keep getting better and better and bring this program back to, you know, annually being a top 20, 15 program, you know, they could do it with what they have now in place and what they have coming in. But, you know, it's hard to gear up for it mentally. You got to have special people to be able to do that on an everyday basis also.
Well, they certainly are coming back around, and so am I, although I'm cautiously optimistic. I was disappointed in the recruiting, and now it has come around. I think a lot of that has to do with Jarence Howard, to tell you the truth. I was a little critical of Tracy Webster when he was an assistant, because he was obviously a Chicago guy. He was brought in supposedly because he could get the recruits out of Chicago, and I just felt like he wasn't really doing much for us. But Jarence, I have to say, I think has made a huge difference, and we're starting to see that now with the recruiting, and so it looks very promising now.
Absolutely. Tracy was a good guy, worked hard, but there was something not right there. Yes, he was a Chicago guy, wasn't a city guy, played in the south suburbs, and also he was a Badger. And as much as, you know, I mean, coaches move around and they're not coaching at their school, at least, you know, Jarence bleeds orange and blue. He's going to be there forever, presumably. And there was just a little something not quite there with Tracy.
Because let's face it, Buzz, we weren't getting Chicago kids. We weren't even getting Illinois kids, state kids.
Right.
I mean, they were going elsewhere. And, you know, I'm not talking about John Shires of the world because he, since he was 5 years old, was going to go to Duke. So
right.
I'm not, you know, and of course, Derrick Rose had his mind made up for whatever his reasons were.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like Illinois was constantly using the excuse of Eric Gordon. I said, okay, so just because Eric Gordon, you know, reneged on his commitment, that's not, we lost a lot of other players. And help me with this kid's name who went to Arkansas that we didn't want.
Oh, yeah, I can
and
picture
Patrick
him.
Beverly.
Right, right.
Okay, now someone explain to me why we didn't want Patrick Beverly, who wanted to come to Illinois.
Well, the story goes that they did not submit transcripts when requested. And as it turns out, I don't believe he's playing this year. He's you know, not flunked out, but he didn't make the grade. He played, what, 1 or 2 years at Arkansas, and he's not playing this year. That's where Bruce sticks to his principles, come hell or high water. He'll take the punch in the side of the head for his principles and his standards and ethics. And maybe we're not used to that. I'm buying in and getting used to it. Because you can, if you work hard enough, and we've seen it happen now, where you can find the kids that want to come and respect you and follow the rules. And if they ask you for a transcript, send the transcript and not mess around and have your high school coach, you know, stall or do this or that or the other things. Now, there is something to say about cooperation with the public league schools and things like that, too. But that was what I understand of the Beverly story.
Well,
but,
that could
but
be.
You're right. Sherrod Collins was another deal that people questioned, thought he was coming last minute, some reason went to Kansas.
And I'm not even, Boz, you can, because there's a lot of people who want to argue those marquee players, Derrick Rose and all that, and I'm not even talking about some of those players. There are some, maybe you'll call them second-tier level players who turn out to be really good. There's a bunch of Chicago kids who went to Oregon.
Right, Dunnigan and
yeah.
Humphrey.
So those are the types of players I'd like us to
yeah.
try to get.
We'll continue this conversation in a moment. We got to take a break, and then we're going to swing to football, but we'll come back to basketball. This is Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. We'll be back in a moment to talk some football with Bob Osmussen.
You buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you buy the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
Did you know that most credit counselors are working for the credit card companies? It's true. They're practically collection agencies themselves. Don't turn over your financial future to them, because I've got a system that can eliminate your debt once and for all. To prove it, I'll send you a powerful free tape today.
I owed over $30,000 in credit card debt, and today, only a year and a half later, I owe no money to the credit card companies.
Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My system doesn't consolidate your debt, it eliminates it, using just the money you already make. No credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
Don't hand over your future to credit counselors. Call now, and I'll rush you my free tape today. Call 1-800-600-5460 for your free tape. Call 1-800-600-5460. 1-800-600-5460.